It's my view is that we don't remember
Yeah.
what we're taught. We remember how we treated. So if we can connect
Yeah.
and you know, and build that rapport between the teacher and a coach, or it's rather a coach and a student, then to me, the options are limitless. You can teach them anything that you want them to learn.
Welcome to the Teach Music Online podcast, where we help music teachers thrive. I'm Carly Walton, your host, and on this podcast, we discuss marketing strategies, tech for online teaching, mindset for growth, course creation, and so much more. No matter where you are in your journey, here you'll receive weekly inspiration to boost your studio success. Thanks for joining me. Hey teachers, welcome back. In today's episode, I have the pleasure of having a conversation with Mike Grand, the visionary behind Rock Out Loud Live. If you haven't heard of Rock Out Loud Live, where have you been? Rock Out Loud Live is a platform that I've been recommending for years for virtual lessons. Fantastic audio, you can teach group, share PDFs. It's just an amazing platform that I really have loved, and lots of our Teach Music Online members love as well. Today, we're talking about a transformative concept every teacher should embrace, and that is viewing ourselves not just as instructors, but as coaches to our students. This is a new phrase that we don't talk about a lot when it comes to the relationship with our student. Mike brings to the table a wealth of experience from his journey in music education, managing three large music schools and guiding dozens of teachers towards fostering more meaningful impacts on their students' lives. I would say Mike is an expert in this area. Before we dive into this discussion, I want to share a testimonial from a member of our Teach Music Online community that truly captures the spirit of what we're about. At the end of 2020, this person was searching for ways to grow their studio and stumbled upon our podcast. He joined our community a few months later, even as a seasoned online teacher, and he found immense value and support that far exceeded their expectations. This is what he said. TMO is an amazing community. I was definitely not a beginner in the online teaching realm when I joined, but even as a seasoned online teacher, I have learned much more than I imagined in the community. Not only is the course well organized and easy to walk through, but the members inside the Teach Music Online membership are supportive and very friendly. I can't imagine that I would have gotten to where I am now if I hadn't joined TMO 2 years ago. Thank you, Carly. Thank you so much for leaving this review. I hope that TMO continues to be a helpful tool to you as you continue to grow your online teaching studio. Have you ever pondered the deeper impact of your teaching approach? Mike Grand and I delve into this very topic, discussing the powerful shift that occurs when teachers assume the role of coaches. With his recent book, From Teacher to Coach, Mike shares invaluable insights that promise to reshape our teaching methodologies. He draws from his extensive experience running large music schools and creating Rock Out Loud Live, a platform revolutionizing online music lessons. As we peel back the layers of coaching paradigm, Mike offers practical advice and personal anecdotes that illuminate the path from traditional teaching to impactful coaching. This conversation is not just about enhancing how we teach or our techniques, but it's about truly enriching the lives of our students. So let's not wait any longer. Welcome to a conversation that could really redefine the way you teach and connect with your students. Let's dive in. Mike, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you on and chat about your book today.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure, but it's been too long. I think it's been a couple of years.
I know. When you reached out, I was like, oh my gosh, it's been too long. I feel like when the pandemic hit, and everyone was scrambling and everyone wanted instruction and everyone has been using your platform, Rock Out Loud Live, it's like, okay, then things settled and everyone got into the groove of online teaching, I think.
That's right. We started when we connected, I think I was maybe in 30 countries. Now we're in 174 countries. We clock in about 3 million minutes of virtual music lessons every month. 3 million minutes. I can tell you because you could see my credit card bill just climbs and climbs and climbs. But it's true. So we've grown since we've last seen each other.
Oh, that's so encouraging to hear that teachers are sharing the gift of music online. And I know it sounds cheesy, but I was just on the call with someone else thinking what a blessing the pandemic was. So to allow teachers to reach students everywhere.
Right. And I would even change that coaches. And that would be a great introduction to the book sure. about coaching.
Yes. Yeah. And so your book is From Teacher to Coach.
And why you would never want to be a teacher.
Why you would never want to be a teacher. So tell us, what is the premise of your book?
So I don't know if you know, but about a year and a half ago, I was asked to fly out to Rwanda in Africa and actually teach teachers, music teachers, how to become coaches. And I met this woman, her name is Mary Fanaro. She lives in Beverly Hills, and she, in fact, was on a Beverly Hills mansion television show. And I only watched that for the pure reason to find out what they do for a living. I could care less about the house. It's what do you do to have multi-million dollars to buy a house? So while I was watching it, the host said, so what do you do? And she says, well, I build music schools in Rwanda. And I was like, holy smokes, pause the TV. I looked her up and after 2 or 3 days found her. And I said, hey, if there's anything I could ever do, I know you build music schools. I own 3. I could help you. I could write curriculum. She goes, well, I know nothing about music. So yeah, I could really use you. So for 7 years, she's been trying to get her music program to be acknowledged by the country of Rwanda. So I said, I can help. We can use what we use at Rock Out Loud because we use our own books. All my books that we have for the children, they're written by me and my coaches. So I said, we can use that. And she said, okay, so we have teachers. I said, no, we have coaches. So she said to me, it's a cultural thing, Mike. If you tell these teachers in Rwanda that you're going to turn them into coaches, they're going to think you want to play basketball. I'm like, Mary, that is exactly what we're not about, but you got to give me the opportunity. Long story short, I wrote a pilot program. I flew out to Kigali in Rwanda and in a little hut began teaching 16 teachers to become music coaches. And it was a phenomenal experience. So we finally, after 7 years with working with Mary, and I just met her about a year or two ago, they finally got the ability to go up to the Minister of Education in Rwanda, who handles all education in the whole country. We went and we proposed my program of turning teachers into coaches. And they said, okay, then we'll come by and we'll see. We'll watch you demonstrate how to do this. And we'll watch your pilot program. We didn't think that the Minister of Education and his entourage was going to do that. But sure enough, like on I think it was a Wednesday afternoon, an entourage of trucks comes down to a little village and a hut where I'm teaching these teachers to be coaches. And 16 of them, I would say out of 16, maybe 10 spoke good English. The rest was very broken English. So they were trying to understand me. And music is a universal language, as we all know. So I'm doing this and the entourage is watching, the Minister of Education is there and I'm sweating and I'm giving the greatest presentation I could possibly give. And after 3 hours, he got up and he said, Mike, I think you're right. The country of Rwanda needs music coaches and not teachers. And from that day on, my program has been accepted in the country to become a coach and not a teacher, based on my philosophies, my teachings, my pilot program. And they integrated that in Rwanda. And watching this transformation was magical. So when I came home, I said, you know, it's not something that I just do in New York and New Jersey and Florida, mm-hmm. which is where my music schools are. This is not something that's cultural. This is universal. And that's mm-hmm. why I wrote the book, to explain to people who consider themselves teachers that they're probably coaches and don't even know it. And to be a coach is more effective than becoming a teacher when it comes to music education or education in general. Because if you can't connect to a child, which what a coach does is they connect, then you'll never be able to persuade them or teach them how to learn, whether it's English or it's piano. So I feel mm-hmm. you gotta be a coach and not a teacher. That's the book.
So what was it? What was it in Rwanda about the word coach instead of teacher that was interesting to them? I'm just curious, like why was that something they came down to see you do and were interested in?
It's the same as the United States or any place else in the world. If you say coach, it's sports. It's not anything to do with music education or education. It's always sports. So if I was to ask you to define, Carly, the difference between a teacher and a coach, what would you say the definition of a teacher is?
Yeah, a teacher is imparting knowledge, teaching. I really think a teacher is a mentor. So I think of teachers as mentors.
But what would you consider a coach? How would you define a coach?
When I first word from teacher to coach, I thought coach is more rigid, has higher expectations, is a little bit kind and a little bit not kind.
Depending on the coach.
depending on the coach, you know, the traditional coach, the traditional like basketball coach or hardcore football coach has guidelines, right. Has regulations they follow, has a roster, you know.
Right. But if you were to say a definition, my definition of a teacher is a teacher focuses on teaching and the coach focuses on the student. And if I was to ask you with that definition for your children, if you had one choice, would it be a teacher or a coach? What would that be?
Yeah, I guess the coach, if their focus is the student. Yeah.
Right. And that's exactly what we do. So it's conforming to the way they learn and their learning language. Not everybody learns the same. There's some great parts in the book where I was learning from my students, because the diatonic chord movement, as you know, with Roman numerals, when you have a child with dyslexia, the four is a number six to them. You know, so it doesn't look like the same. So there's a chapter in the book where, as I'm trying to teach this phenomenal guitar player the music theory to the diatonic chord movement, he kept writing it wrong. And I realized he was dyslexic because he was able to play it right. A coach could pick up on things like that and learn what their learning language is and conform to it. A teacher would be like, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Right? And rewrite it until it's imprinted in his brain without recognizing that there's a different learning language for this child. Mm-hmm. My opinion and my view in 35 years of coaching is you need to connect with their learning language to get them to learn it. And boy, I did that. And there was another part in the book where there was a child who was deemed unteachable for drums. Now, I've never played a djembe. You know what a djembe is?
Yeah, actually.
I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've never played one, but.
So yeah, I had to teach one and I've never done it before, but I understood the coaching process of it. So there was a djembe class in this hut in Rwanda and Tuesday night. And they said, well, one of these kids just cannot be taught. He just doesn't know how to play djembe. He can't keep rhythm, can't keep time. I said, you know what? Don't tell me who he is. I'm going to teach the class the way I best know how to teach. I'm going to coach the class. And I did, and I was six people in the class, and I taught them how to play by closing their eyes, because I feel that if you can't say it, you can't play it. In music, you're telling your brain how to move your fingers. And if you close your eyes and you remove that, you know, those sense, the sense of sight, and you focus on your hearing and you hum it, well, then you can hum it, you can play it. So I asked each one of the children to close their eyes and hum it, and they did. And then they played it. And through the whole course of 45 to 60 minutes, they were doing it perfectly. And we built up this tremendous crescendo and everybody was playing perfect. The class is over. So everybody leaves. I said, it's too bad that the kid that you said was deemed unteachable didn't show up because everybody was great. And they said, Mike, he was the kid in the blue shirt. So it's all on how you coach a child and your approaches that you take. So that to me is the epitome of being a great coach, is to be able to conform. So I'll ask you, Carly. So in grade school, what was the name of the teacher who taught you how to read?
Mrs. Rice.
You think Mrs. Rice, but who was your favorite teacher in grade school?
Maybe Mrs. Tucker.
So you have Mrs. Tucker or Mrs. Rice. Well, you remember Mrs. Tucker because of the way she treated you, right? Mm-hmm. You don't remember what she taught when you were in second grade. We probably don't remember anything. So it's my view is that we don't remember what we're taught. We remember how we treated. So if we can connect and build that rapport between the teacher and a coach, a coach and a student, then to me, the options are limitless. You can teach them anything that you want them to learn.
Yes, so good. So your book is really teaching us on how we can embrace the principles of being a coach with our students, with our studio. We're not changing our title necessarily, but we are embracing the philosophies that a good coach really values, adheres to, kind of almost like I was thinking as I was reading through it, principles to fall back on. Mm-hmm. When we tend to conform, when we tend to be pulled back to the traditional, to the book, and remembering, you know, the purpose is to connect with students and to show up for them in a very different way.
Right. And I would even take that a step further. So, for example, okay, so your audience uses Rock Out Loud Live, and I see them or speak to them, whether it's a troubleshooting call or if it's a training call. And I would venture to say that your audience are coaches, not teachers, because they care so much about their career, their job, what they offer children. They want to offer them the best virtual lesson experience. They care so much to make sure that they understand how to use the whiteboard so they can teach the music theory, they can change things and they can interact with them. Those are the folks that are really coaches in trapped inside a teacher's body. And you have them in schools too, in education systems, like in elementary school, junior high and high school. And the book really focuses on my journey through my, my educational process and meeting people who've been in my life as a teacher, but they were really coaches. And there was a part where I grew up with this one memory of a coach that I had who was a teacher and who's my art teacher. And in the book, I mentioned that we did this beautiful collage out of these little, like a, it was a picture that we had to cut out pieces of a magazine, colors of the magazine, and paste them so it would look like a mountain or a sunrise. But all these pictures from magazines, and it was beautiful. And I went to lunch. This is the sixth grade. And Mr. Kaplan has this poster that I did. It was a big poster under his arm, taps me on the shoulder during lunch. I spin around. He goes, "Michael, this poster is sensational. It's beautiful, but it needs a little yellow flower in the corner right here by the mountain. Right now you're a 96, but you can get to a 99 if you place that little yellow flower in there." And I said, "Mr. Kaplan, I'll do that. That's no problem. But why not 100? And he said, "Because, Michael, nothing's perfect." And it was like a lesson that stuck with me since I was like 11 years old. So push forward to like a year ago, and I'm writing the book, or I started to write the book, and I reached out to Mr. Kaplan to find him, to thank him, to tell him what a profound moment that was in my life. And I learned he died 7 or 8 years ago, and I was crushed. And what at the very last chapter of the book, which is a very important chapter, is thank those coaches. Thank your music teachers who you think are teachers or coaches, but thank them, because people like us, people who really care about giving back to the community, we want to give them all we have. And all we want back is grace, is thanks, that legacy, right? We don't want money. We couldn't care about stuff like that. We just want to make sure that we've made a difference in a child's life. And I wanted to thank him for making the difference in my life. And it was too late. So that very last line is just reach out to those mentors that really have affected you in your life and reach out and say thank you, because that's so important and it only takes a second.
Yeah, you said in the book, as we get older, we lose contact with people who help shape our character, our lives, and even those who helped nurture our passion. Whether it's due to a relocation or just a lack of time, we tend to forget those people who were most important to us. Some people will refer to these people as their coach or mentor. Some will say they had a guide to help them navigate through life. Others spend a lifetime not realizing how many mentors or guides came into their life and they just never let them in. And I think that that is really so powerful because it is my hope to recognize that people that come in and out of my life are never a coincidence, never a happenstance, but that truly are to help me learn, be guided, be refined in some sort. Learn from maybe mistakes someone else has made that I can learn from, maybe mistakes I'm making that I can. I mean, there are so many ways to value other people. And I think when we come from that gratitude, that kind of abundant mindset, we thrive so much more because we look at the world differently.
I totally agree. And acknowledging them is so paramount to the whole big picture. Right? I would do anything to go back 10 years ago and say, "Mr. Kaplan, thank you so much for that, because that was so important."
Oh, absolutely. So as teachers begin to consider the idea that they are a coach, how will this shift their lessons and their studio?
That's a great question. First, people ask me, how do you even do that? How do you make that shift between a teacher and a coach? And in my view, it's just developing rapport. There was a part of the book, and I hate to keep referring to the book because it's really not a sales about the book and selling the book. It's about references that I brought to bring to the table here. There was a gentleman in Herzog, and he had difficulty connecting to a student. He couldn't develop the rapport, and they had difficulty learning from him. And I said, this is what, so I brought in a box, and I brought in this box. And when you open it up, there was a mirror inside. And I got up to the class to teach, and I said, inside this box is an image of my favorite student. And everybody raised their hand, and they said, who is it? And I said, you'd have to see the box first. So I handed it around the entire class of 16 kids. They opened up the box, and they saw the picture of themselves. And they looked at themselves and smiled and handed the box over. They didn't say a word. And it went through the whole classroom. All 16 smiled. You should have saw their faces. Then they gave me back the box. And at the end of that lesson, Herzog said to me, you know what, Mike, Hezron, I'm sorry. He said to me, Mike, can I take that box? Because maybe that's the one thing that I need, that one catalyst to get my student to connect with me. So he goes, he takes it from that lesson, goes to teach, comes the next day, comes back. He said, you'll never believe what happened. I said, what happened, Hezron? He said to me, I said to my student, inside this box is a picture of my favorite student. And I handed it to him. He opened it up and he saw his own face and smiled. But what happened next was the best. He closed the box and the student said, and inside this box is my favorite coach. Hands him the box and they both smiled. From that day on, this kid learned and we still spoke, you know, for months virtually. He said that child thrived. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he made that connection. If you get that child and you develop rapport, there's nothing that you cannot teach a child. I believe that. So in the book, I also explain the three ways to get rapport from the very onset. So in my music schools, when you walk in, you hear a crowd. It's one of those sensors, time sensors. A child walks in, hits the sensor, and there's a screaming crowd. It's raw because we celebrate the child. We want to break their focus, which basically means if they come in, they had a fight with their parents, they failed the subject, they broke their iPhone, they got punished. They walk in, they feel like a rock star. We just change their focus. That's the first thing. The second thing is the language. People say, what do you mean by language? It's how you talk to somebody. So what we'd say is like, you are ready to rock today. Man, I had that lesson last week with you and I was so pumped. We're going to kill it today. Let's go. That's the language. And then it's just the body, the physical body language where the physiology, you have to change a child's physiology. So I tell people, all of my coaches, when you see them interact, they get down on their knees. If they're only 4 feet high, they have to get down on their knees. They have to look at eye level and then we'll give them a high five or a pound to change their physiology. If you do those three things at the very onset of your lessons, that the next 30 minutes, 45 minutes or 60 minutes, you're going to have a totally different lesson because you've developed rapport, you've contacted and connected with them, and now they want to learn from you because they feel like you and them are the same bond. That to me works every time. And by the way, whether it's in Africa or if it's in Brooklyn, New York or New Jersey or in Florida, all my schools do it and it works every single time. So developing rapport with those three steps, physiology, language, and focus, if you can take those three and put them in for the first 30 seconds you see your student when they walk through the door or they open up with a virtual call, that's going to develop rapport.
Oh, that's so great. And I was just thinking it's almost like the student sees us as having an agenda. They see a lot of adults in their lives as having an agenda.
Yes. And, oh my God, you know, yes.
Yeah, like their parents have an agenda. It's to make dinner or it's to get them in bed. It's to get this house clean. It's to finish your homework. And because we do as adults, we have things on our mind and, you know, our physical lists. And I think that it causes this barrier between the teacher, coach, and a student where they don't know that the teacher actually wants to show up for them. But it has to start with the mindset of us. It has to start with us recognizing I actually do need to put my agenda aside. And I think that takes practice and effort, especially for someone who's been teaching for a few decades. You know, a lot of our listeners have been teaching for years and they have always had an agenda because it's, you have lots of students coming in and out your door, or in and out of your Zoom room and, or in and out of your Rock Out Loud Live room. And they need to have some sort of a balance of putting that agenda aside, connecting with the student on their level, you know, physiologically on their level. Mm-hmm. And so that the student sees them as an adult mentor who doesn't have an agenda.
That's right. And what I said earlier, and that kind of like really perfectly puts itself in place, is the teachers are always stepping up, whether they're because they're 6 feet tall and a child is only 3 feet. I mean, you have little children. They're always looking up to mom, or they're always looking up to the teacher. And this, it might be subconsciously or psychologically, some children are affected differently. They may be intimidated. They might get anxiety because somebody's looking down on them. And then when you reprimand them, it's even worse. So that's why I've always told my coaches that they got to get on their knees and focus at eye level. That's the only way you'll be able to do it. If you watch any movie that ever has a a conversation between a mentor, the hero's journey, whether it's a Disney movie or it's Rocky, you're always going to see them at eye level talking next to each other, not from one angle to the other, because you can never connect and develop rapport if you're talking down to somebody. And there's another chapter in the book where there was a child, 5 years old, and a very close friend's dad passed away. And I remember going to my music school in New York. It was only like 5 blocks away. I figured, you know what? I'm really upset. I got to get away. I know I'm not open yet. I'm just going to go in and clean up the place. And I did. As I'm cleaning it, there's a knock on the door, the glass door, and I see a mom and a little child. So naturally, I opened the door and I said, how can I help you? And she said, well, my son, he doesn't know what he wants to play. I don't know what he wants to play, but he loves music. I said, you came to the right place. So he came in and I get on my knees. I look him in the eyes and I'm saying to him, you're going to be a rock star. Let's go. And we're going to play every one of the instruments that we have here at the school. And the mom took him. We went to room to room to room. This kid, a beautiful, long, blonde, curly hair, smile, beautiful blue eyes, played the drums, piano, guitar. And then he played a little bit of the bass. And we end up in the back room. He's playing the piano and finishes. I get down on my knees again. And his name was, we'll call his name James. I said, James, you were awesome. And you played all those instruments like a pro. But what do you want to play? He goes, I want to play the drums. And the mom is crying. She's hysterical. And I'm like, really, it's not so bad. My son's a drummer. We can practice on pillows. It could be pots and pans. You don't got to invest. She goes, no, you don't understand. I said, believe me, I understand. She said, no, you don't understand. This is the first time James has ever said a word in his 5 years of being on this planet. And it's October. He's already been in school. He spent the past 4.5 weeks in school. He opens up to me for the first time in his life. Why do you think that happens? I'm only going to speculate. I'm not a therapist, a psychologist. I'm not any of that. But I must think that he's one of those children that was focusing on the anxiety and being very scared and introverted. And when he was looking up at people and people were talking to him, not talking down to him, but just being an adult, there was no connection. Yeah. There was no rapport. But by me, the whole time, getting on my knees and looking him in the eyes, developing rapport, that made him talk and say, I want to play drums. Whether that was the anecdote or not, to me, to mom, it might have been. And that's so important, is don't be a teacher, be a coach. Get on your knees, focus on that rapport, develop that eye contact, the physiology, the focus, the rapport. That's so important.
Oh, that's so great. It seems that running a business with this in mind, you know, whether you run a music school or a small studio, will only help your business grow.
Yes,
you know, 100%. It's interesting because this conversation is really more about the human interaction and how to treat people, but also the benefits that come from treating people in this way is you have more success as a business owner.
You know what? You do. And to the coaches in the world, it's the legacy that we're leaving. And, you know, the success is a great byproduct of it. But you'll see in my music schools every Christmas, around between now and Christmas, you're going to see hundreds of gifts given to our coaches and cards and gift certificates and candy baskets. The connections that we have with every single one of the students, we have hundreds of students. The connection is just incomparable. I don't know if any of the students, studios experience that, but because of that connection, and your studio is going to grow, your business is going to really flourish. And parents are going to say, you know, this coach really has transformed my child. There was a time in my school in New York, I was passing by and all of our rooms have glass doors. And one of the dads was watching in on the lesson of his daughter. And I was passing by to go to the back and he stopped me. His name was Patrick. And I said, hey, Patrick, how can I help you? He said, you know, this lesson, what's going on right now? We're watching through the glass door. He said, this has built the confidence of my daughter who was picked on in school. She was introverted. She never said anything, had no friends. But because of what we've done here for my daughter, with the ability to give her the confidence and build her self-esteem, get her to play these live shows, she has flourished. She's now the most popular kid in high school. And it was like, that's my job. We finally did it. That's the way we recognize that, the pat on the back, the proverbial, we've done it. So those are the things that we go for. And your business grows because the parents tell other people and those friends see those people grow and everybody wants to be part of that business.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for giving us some insight into how to be more in tune to our students. Tell us, for those listening, where can they find your book? Is it on? Yeah, you just tell us where to find it.
Sure, I could give you the link. It's for Black Friday. It's going to be actually launched, and that could be found on Amazon. You could buy the digital version. It's the EPUB version, which I think I sent you, and that's available now, the digital version for Kindle. And if you just go onto Amazon, From Teacher to Coach and Why You Would Never Want to Be a Teacher, it should be the first one on the results.
Thank you so much, Mike.
You betcha. Thank you, Carly.
As we close today's inspiring session with Mike Grand, I hope that you're feeling motivated to embrace this new methodology about viewing yourself as a coach. Reflect on one insight from our conversation that struck you. My invitation is that you write it down and consider setting a goal to integrate this change into your teaching approach starting now. I know that small adjustments can lead to profound impacts in your students' lives and in your fulfillment as a teacher. I encourage you to take that step forward and remember our Teach Music Online community is here to support you. Whether you're looking for strategies, insights, or camaraderie, we've got you covered. Visit teachmusic.online for more resources that can help propel your teaching journey. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Have a great week. I know what little time you have to learn what you need to be successful. This is why I created the Teach Music Online membership, the only membership dedicated to helping online studio owners thrive. Here you'll find courses, group coaching, and community, all designed to save you time and help you grow your business. So whether you're hoping to create more engaging lessons, grow a waitlist, create digital courses, or build a new website, we have exactly what you need. And now you can also get online teaching certified with our certification course. To join the waitlist, head over to teachmusic.online and you'll be notified when we open doors to new members. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you there.